So we're starting something new today. We spent 15 weeks on the 12 disciples. Yes, you can do the math on that. But yeah, we had 15 weeks on the 12 disciples, and now we're going to spend some time learning about some doctrine, some false teaching from and the pastoral epistles. We're going to spend some time in here and learning where our focus should be. And I started this week scrolling through the internet, and I wanted to share with you some very reliable news from very reliable sources. I'm going to tell you that a few years ago, the very first genetic splicing happened between a cat and a dog. Yep, that's a, yeah, that's legit, right? Also, I learned this week that human cloning has been going on for years, and the government just wants you to believe that women can have more than only one baby at a time. That's just ridiculous. That's twin brothers who married twin sisters. So genetically, those kids are brother and sister. Interestingly enough. But the biggest one of all, this is what I read in the news this week. Since September 8th, 1966, a secret government agency called the United Earth Space Probe Agency, or USPA for short, has been sending manned spacecraft into the galaxy and showing it to us as entertainment. This is insane. And if this all just seems outlandish to you, just take these words from President Lincoln to help cool your spirits. Don't believe everything you read on the internet just because there is a picture with a quote next to it, said by Abraham Lincoln. Fake news isn't just out in the world. It's actually part of the church in a big way. Sometimes it comes from the pulpit. Sometimes it comes from within the congregation. And that's what our passage is referring to today. Paul's talking to his disciple, Timothy, and he has these words to say to him. And we're going to be working through just kind of piecemeal 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus over the next several weeks, learning what these false teachings are, and learning a little bit about doctrine along the way and where our focus should be. And in 1 Timothy 1, 3 to 7, it says, as I urged you, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. So I'm going to give you a four example from the church. There was a guy, his name was James Usher. He was an archbishop in the 17th century, very long time ago. And he said he had a date for Jesus' return. He was confident on this date. He gave the day and the year. October 23rd. That's tomorrow. He was... wait a second, I got the date wrong. 1997. He was confident that it was October 23rd, 1997. He was absolutely certain. Now, he didn't get to live to see whether he was right or wrong. We did. He was wrong.
Wrong.
That's an extreme example, but that's what we're talking about today, is coming up with issues that maybe they're okay to talk about, but what they were doing and what people do a lot today is majoring in minor issues. Or we might say making a mountain out of a molehill, or thinking too much on something that doesn't matter. And they mention in this passage myths and genealogies, but ones we might come up with today, whether or not a pastor should wear a tie. That would be making a mountain out of a molehill. What kind of Bible to use? What translation do you like the best? How often to take communion? The role of women in ministry. That's a little bigger of a deal than some of these others, but still.
Definitely bigger than the whole.
And then also, who is worthy enough to sit in this room? So the big question is, are these issues wrong to address? I wouldn't say they're wrong to address. I have thoughts on each and every one of them. But they are not our focus. And I could spend time saying, well, yeah, myths and genealogies, they have a place. They show us how the world used to be. We can learn a lot about culture from them. One of my most favorite renditions of a myth comes from C.S. Lewis's Till We Have Faces. It's an excellent novel, and I think November should be C.S. Lewis month. Hint, hint, Jessica. Genealogies have their place. The Bible is full of them. Whether or not a pastor should wear a tie, I think you know my stance on that one. What kind of Bible to use? I like the ESV, and if you don't, well, that's up to you. How often we take communion? That's up to each and every church. There are some churches that do it a lot, some churches that do it a little. The role of women in ministry? Different denominations have different views on it. Who's worthy enough to sit in this room? I'll give you a clue. It's none of us. None of us are worthy enough to be in God's presence. So are these issues wrong to address? No, they're not wrong to address. But when they take our focus off of Jesus, that's what makes them wrong. When we focus too much about the rules, we become more like the Pharisees and less like Jesus. So our focus is to be Jesus and not the rules. And sometimes we might even pervert the rules and make it something that was not intended. That's what a false teaching would be. Paul actually addresses this even more in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We have a lot of people in the church, whether congregation or from a pulpit, who think themselves pretty important. And they may teach something that's contrary to the gospel. Paul's saying here, I decided that I was only going to share the gospel with you and nothing else. He even used the phrase, I chose not to know anything except the gospel. Everything else is a minor issue. In fact, any of those minor issues should immediately point you back to Jesus. So, since this series is called Doctrine, and learning about false teachings and epistles, when is it okay to talk about the minor issues? When is it When is there a time and place? Well, it's going to be in the next couple weeks, I'll tell you that, because that's what I'm going to be talking about. When is it not the time? When is it okay to talk about the minor issues? First and foremost, it's not when you're sharing Jesus with someone. And we fall into this. You're sharing Jesus with someone and they'll bring up the question. Usually it's them bringing up, well, what do you guys think about women and pastors and stuff like that? And it's like, and then you get on a beeline to women in ministry, or whether it's okay to drink alcohol, or whether or not it's okay to have sex before marriage, or any of the, you focus on the minor issues and Jesus is gone. So when you're sharing Jesus with someone, share Jesus with someone. Don't worry about the doctrines and the way to live your life. Let Jesus do that when they know him. Because sometimes we can inadvertently push a doctrine on somebody, and they might even think, well, I can't become a Christian because there's too much of that in my life. I've met so many people who said, oh, I can't be a Christian, I'm a sinner. It's like, that's the whole point. Or someone once told me, hey, when I get my... They were a believer, but they quit going to church. They quit being in fellowship with other believers. They quit reading their Bible because they said they were sinning too much and they weren't worthy. So once they got their life back together, then they would come back to church and start reading their Bible. It was like, you don't get it. You will never get your life back together outside of Jesus. They were focusing so much on the rules or these doctrines that they lost sight of the focus, which is Jesus. So our first thing with anyone in any relationship is to know only that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. That's it. That is our focus. Start a relationship with Jesus. The doctrine comes later. There will be things in your life that change. There will be things in your life that were important that are now less important. There were things in your life that were of no importance and are now of great importance. When you share Jesus with someone, it does take a little effort to get there. Sometimes it's you can't just go up to somebody and say, hey, Jesus died for your sin, you want in? Sometimes it takes getting to know them, developing a relationship. Sometimes you have to show them what sin is. That's not doctrine, that's reality. Do you lie? Yeah, well, then you're a sinner. Well, I don't lie a lot. Have you ever lied? Yeah, then you're a sinner. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, once, but it was only one. Good, then you're a sinner. You have sinned. You have broken your relationship with God. Who's God? What is this God? I mean, what's this big deal? Show them who God is. Show them their need for a Savior. There's a lot of people out there who absolutely understand that they do wrong things. But they don't think it's that big of a deal because they don't think there's anyone to hold them accountable to it. Show them there's someone who holds them accountable to it. Show them who God is. Give them that biblical background. Show them Jesus. Doctrines, all that stuff. They're great, they're beneficial, but they're not the focus. So what do we do? If you like knowing the answer to doctrinal questions, if you like coming up to me and saying, hey, what do you think about this, that, and the other thing? Let's have a study. I'm all for it, it'll be fun. Is it okay to talk about doctrines from the pulpit? Absolutely yes. But it's not the core, it's not our salvation. And too often, we get too many people concentrating on the doctrines as if they save them. You can't sit there in church because that's where the pastor sits and he's more important than you. Ridiculous. But there are placards in church. This is where the pastor... No. That's not our focus. Our focus is Jesus. If you catch someone speaking toward a doctrine as if you have to do it to be saved, You can offer a rebuke in love. The Bible says offer rebukes in love. We have some denominations who require baptism and they say it's for salvation. That's not biblically correct. So you can say, you know what, let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about this. Do it in love. Don't be like, oh, you're just a moron that thinks you need to be dunked in water to be saved. That's ridiculous. That's not focusing on Jesus. And we're not here to make enemies or start fights. Although that happens quite a lot. I've seen churches get in big arguments about where a sign is in the basement. I've seen churches get in arguments about what color the carpet is, or lack thereof. I've seen churches get in arguments because somebody talked too long or not long enough or not happy enough or didn't tell enough jokes or told too many jokes. Are they pointing toward Jesus? And if you can't agree on a doctrine, but you agree on Jesus, great. Live in peace with one another. Doctrine should not divide us. If you meet somebody who says, Jesus is a pretty okay guy, but so is this other God too. You can follow either one, you'll be saved. That's a problem. That is the one you need to agree on. But if you're like, well, I really think that women should wear head coverings in church. Well, I don't. Well, okay, well, wear your hat. I don't care. I'm not going to. Well, I'm not a woman, so. Live at peace even in your disagreements. Paul comments on that in Romans 14. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Keep your focus on Jesus. So one of my favorite statements, it became one of my favorite statements in more recent years, is all of Jesus for all the world. We live in a big world with lots of different cultures and ways of life. There are people in China who would come in here and be like, wow, so many chairs, where's all the butts? And they'd come in here with 400 or 500 people and they'd just be happy to be in here. And they'd be happy to pass around one sheet of paper with the day's scripture on it and they'd leave having memorized it. That's not our culture. We all have Bibles. So we would maybe look down on them. It's like, oh, they're not smart enough to be Christians. It's all of Jesus for all the world. We have different cultures. We have different practices. And we can all be Christians together. There are ways of life out there that are outright sinful and wrong. And Christian believers should not follow or practice sinful behavior. However, there are practices that are just cultural and different and not sinful. Like Paul said, be at peace, share Jesus. Because Jesus is for everybody. We don't need to major on the minor issues to love Jesus together. And as we go through this series and learn more about doctrines and false teachers and Jesus as our focus, I hope we can all grow in Jesus and in our understanding of what he is teaching us. Because we should always point back to Jesus, no matter what we're teaching, whether it's doctrine or culture or whatever. Everything should point back to Jesus. So with that in mind, we learned a song. We liked that song. We got really good at that song. I've got a new one. And it's a great song. I may have shared it with you before. I'm not sure. It's called All of Jesus for All the World.
I knew it!
And we're gonna learn this song. The words are going to be up on the screen. So I'll ask us to please stand up and sing along, and then I'll close us in prayer because our focus is Jesus.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the reason that we get to spend eternity with you is Jesus. And there's a lot in your Bible that we can talk about. And there's a lot of doctrines out there that can teach us a lot of good things. Help us beware of false doctrines and false teachings. And help us to point to you, to focus on you. Because, Lord Jesus, you are for all the world. You loved us so much that you died for us. Help us focus on that. And we pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be dismissed.